Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Worthy is the Lamb who has been slain. Many of us have sung of the Lamb's worthiness to redeem us in countless hymns. But how many of us have praised the Lamb for His worthiness to open the secret of God's economy as revealed in Revelation chapter 5? Joining us today to discuss this worthy Lamb is Francis Ball. Welcome back to the program, Francis.
Thank you, Chris. Very happy to be here.
Francis, the verse we're talking about specifically in Revelation chapter 5 is verse 12, and it says at least this much, "Worthy is the Lamb who has been slain." And as we said, many hymns refer to this phrase. Although we surely agree with the worthiness of Christ as the Lamb of God, uniquely who was qualified to redeem us, today, this life study of Revelation will bring us to something that goes beyond just this common understanding and look into the context from which this verse was taken. Maybe you could give us the setting in chapter 5 of Revelation as it speaks of the Lamb's worthiness to open the secrets of God's economy.
It seems here, Chris, that John is seeing at the right hand of the one who sits on the throne, holding a scroll. And on the scroll is written on the front and the back all the things concerning something of God.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no one found worthy to open the scroll. It contains some secrets. And no one has been found worthy to open the scroll. And then he wept much, he says. I wept much because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or look into it. Then one of the elders, which must have been among the angels, as we saw before, said, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has overcome that he may open the scroll and its 7 seals. This is very, very significant, that it's not just as the Lamb who was slain for our sins, but also as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is worthy to open the scroll and to open up God's economy."
Yeah, that is a wonderful picture there. And of course, as we saw a day or two ago when we were looking at this verse once before, the angel referred John to the Lion of the tribe of Judah, obviously referring to Christ. Yet when John turned to see him, he saw him as the Lamb. The Lion Lamb, that's the one that's worthy, and we really need to see both aspects, don't we?
Yeah, that's right. If we don't see that, we will be limited, as so many Christians have been, in their appreciation of his worthiness, that it was just our redemption that he accomplished, and that's what caused him to be worthy. But it's as the Lion of the tribe of Judah that he's worthy, having defeated Satan.
This is a very good message. I think our listeners are going to enjoy it very much today. Let's get to it. Here's Witness Lee.
Many Christians who have ever read Revelation 5 all got to know that the slain Lamb is worthy. And in the Christian hymns, a number of hymns read on this subject. Worthy is the Lamb. If you read through all those hymns, you could see mostly they praise that the Lord is worthy because of the Lord's redemption. Nearly not one hymn has ever gone farther than redemption. Worthy is the Lamb because he has redeemed us. Yet, if you read Revelation chapter 5, you could see the worthiness of the Lamb is not mainly due to his, not mainly due to his redemption, but to his worthiness to open the secret of God's economy. Here is the worthiness. of course, he is worthy to open the seals of God's economy because he has defeated the enemy. He is the victorious and overcoming Lion of Judah. And he is also the redeeming Lamb, the Lamb who has accomplished the full redemption for God's chosen people. He is such, so he is fully qualified. He is fully positioned to open the mystery of God's economy. But in chapter 5, the crucial point is that who is worthy to open the secrets of God's economy? This is the crucial point. The Lamb is the one, the unique one, the only one in the whole universe who is qualified, worthy to open the seals of God's economy.
Well, Francis, only this one was found to be worthy. And as we mentioned before and just heard again, not only is this worthy one the Lamb of God for our redemption, but he was also referred to as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. We touched this term last week, the Lion Lamb, and I think many of our listeners may have heard it, but it is worthwhile, I believe, to go back today, develop this meaning once again, especially in this context of the one who was worthy to open the scroll of the mysteries of the universe.
You know, I think, as you said, this is worth spending some time on. So many of us have been just occupied with our redemption and our benefit and without much realization of the other aspect of Christ's death on the cross and of his victory over Satan. But he not only was the Lamb of God who died for our sins, and we certainly appreciate, love, and sing of his worthiness in that respect, but the other aspect is that he was the Lion of the tribe of Judah. That means he's a fighter, and he knows how to defeat the enemy. And without defeating the enemy, there's no way to unroll the scroll that shows us God's economy. On these programs, we talk so much about God's economy.
Right.
But so few really realize what God's economy really is. And we see today in this message, I think, that this requires a victory over Satan to defeat him to the uttermost, to be worthy to unfold the scroll and let us see what God's economy really is and how he fulfills it. Mm. So as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Christ overcame and defeated that rebellious Satan, who's the enemy of God. And as the redeeming Lamb, as we've said already, he took away the sin of fallen man. And by so doing, he removed every hindrance to the fulfillment of God's purpose. We can say he's the one worthy to open the scroll concerning God's economy.
Francis, it's important, as you said, that we see this again so that our understanding and appreciation is not just tipped to the side of, as you said, what benefits us. But interestingly, here God is about to unveil the mysteries of the universe, which really form God's economy. He was looking for one that had the dual qualification, qualified to redeem his people, but also the one qualified to defeat his enemy. God's view of this is quite a bit more broad than ours, isn't it?
Yes, it certainly is. And that's the reason we have to see this at the beginning of Revelation in order to understand everything that follows in Revelation is based on unfolding the scroll.
Well, as we said a while ago, John turned to see this Lion of the tribe of Judah. Verse 6 in chapter 5 gives the description of what he saw. It says, "And I saw in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders a lamb standing as having just been slain." But the view continues, Francis, and this part most often gets overlooked as well. "Having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth." That's the part we want to look at specifically in this coming section, the seven eyes, the seven spirits of God. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Here in Revelation chapter 5, you have the seven eyes of the Lamb, which are the seven spirits. Chapter 4 of the same book says the seven spirits, which are the seven eyes of the Lamb, are also the seven lamps before the throne of God. In Exodus, these seven lamps are for God's building of the tabernacle. And in Zechariah, the seven lamps plus the seven eyes all were for the recovery of God's building, the rebuilding of the temple. Then you go on to the book of Revelation. The seven spirits in the book of Revelation are absolutely for God's building. All these, the seven lamps, seven eyes, and the seven spirits, all in all, are for what? For God's building. Check with your experience. Whenever you got searched, purged, purified, refined, judged by the flaming eyes of Christ, eventually you got something of Him. Not only something of you was purified away, but something of Him was transfused into you. The natural things were purified away, but the divine things was transfused into our being. Amen. And this is the way for the Lord today to build us together. Amen. This is the way for the Lord to carry out God's building. By infusing us with whatever He is, He makes us the same as He is. Amen. And by doing this, He transforms us from being natural to be the same as He is. And then we will become the transformed materials which are really good for the building up of the New Jerusalem.
Well, Francis, here in Revelation chapters 4 and 5, we have quite a picture. We have the worthy Lion Lamb with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, and the seven lamps of fire that burn before the throne. It might be hard for us, Francis, to understand this doctrinally, the one spirit in the triune God, the one spirit of the Trinity, being referred to, spoken of in Revelation as the seven spirits, seven eyes, seven lamps of burning fire. But experientially, I think maybe all of God's children have some idea, have at least experienced this aspect, haven't they?
Yes, in order to be a child of God, you need to have experienced this, at least to some degree, but this is a big subject and quite worthy of being developed, so we have a better understanding of these sevens that are in the Bible. First of all, we have the seven lamps in Exodus, and then as he pointed out in Zechariah, we have the seven lamps becoming the seven eyes. And then when you get to Revelation, you have the reference to the seven spirits. Now, it's quite significant that you have these sevens throughout this. And it must have a very specific meaning, that there's something more here than just a term. That some people have thought, how do you speak of seven spirits when there's only one spirit? Yes, there's only one spirit of God. But in this aspect, because of the importance of this accomplishing of what's written in the scroll, there needs to be an intensification of the spirit. There needs to be this term, the seven spirits, or the sevenfold intensified spirit. In Revelation, he's really come to the climax of what his eternal purpose is. And that's seen in Exodus with the lamps. It's seen in Zechariah with the eyes. But now you see all of it put together here in Revelation by the seven spirits. Those seven spirits are the seven eyes. And he's infusing himself into us. You know how it is. When someone's eyes are really intent in imparting something to you, they burn something into you. They don't just burn you in a negative way, but they burn something very positively in an infusing way into you. And these are the eyes. The seven eyes of the Lamb, the seven spirits of God, are for infusing God's nature and His being into us.
I remember many times over the years when Witness Lee would talk on this point, he liked the illustration of the married couples. I think all of the husbands in our listening audience can relate to this, Francis. There have been those times we're in a group situation and maybe we're saying something and we happen to catch the eyes of our wives. And there is a genuine infusing that goes on. We have no problem understanding the feeling that our wife may have about what we're saying just by what's coming from those eyes, don't we?
I believe that's, well, I know that's very true.
This infusing has a dual aspect. As he talked about here, it does have a purifying. It does have a burning away of our natural thought. When we catch the Lord's expression that way, we right away experience some judgment, and something of our natural element and being is removed. But there's a positive aspect that takes place at the same time. And this is a key point in Revelation, not just to see this book as a book of judgment. It is that, but it's a book that brings forth something related to what is transfused into us.
Yes, it's very important to see that the eyes that judge and expose and enlighten also are infusing something of the nature of God into us.
Let's look at a verse that he's going to refer to before we go back to him for this final section. We're going to go back to Revelation chapter 4. He's going to touch this verse briefly. We talked about it the other day. Verse 2 and 3. Immediately I was in spirit, and behold, there was a throne set in heaven, and upon the throne there was one sitting. And he who was sitting was like a jasper stone. The jasper will reappear, Francis, near the end of the book, and that connection is very important in this final section. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
The whole New Jerusalem will be in the same essence and appearance as God is. In chapter 4 of this book, God sitting on the throne looks like a jasper. Then, in the last two chapters, the holy city is built, especially its wall, with jasper. The whole city's essence, the whole city's appearance are exactly the same as God.
Amen.
Why? Because the very God has been wrought into the materials by the way of transfusing. Thank Him. Through all the centuries, the light concerning His building has never been so bright as it is today. It is not a matter for you to be an individualistic overcomer. There's not such an overcomer. Talking about overcoming, the people just misunderstood the proper meaning to overcome in this book. To overcome in this book is to overcome the degraded situation. This is for what? Again, this is for God's building. Oh, the Lord have mercy upon us. Oh, we are in the dark night. We need the intensified seven spirit enlightening us, to search us, and to purge us, and to refine us. Eventually, we need His intensified infusing, transfusing with all what He is. Then we will become the transformed stones for His building. Don't forget, everything should be for His building.
Francis, we saw in chapter 4 that God on the throne had the appearance of jasper. When we come back in chapter 21, the second to the last chapter at the end of the book, verse 11 tells us, as the holy city was descending and John was seeing it, it says, having the glory of God, her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone. Now the whole city takes on this appearance of jasper. You know, we didn't play this portion, but in this message, Witness Lee went so far as to say that if we miss the matter of God's building, there's really much of the Bible we really cannot understand. It's the key to understanding all of the building. Now, we've been seeing seven eyes and seven spirits, this intensified expression of God's Spirit in these final days when He is so exercised for the fulfillment of His purpose. And yet it all connects again to God's building. Talk about this connection for us as we close today.
Well, that's a very, very important connection. Without this, as you said, it's very hard to understand the whole message of the Bible. It's not hard for people to pick up the Bible and pick out portions that have to do with their living or have to do with their hope or their promise. A lot of things that have to do with ourselves we
right.
usually find.
Right.
But to find out that this is really for God's building, what God has accomplished and what God is doing today is for the building up of His own nature and His own being in man. That's shown in the fact that God sitting on the throne is jasper. And also, as you pointed out, the wall is jasper. That wall is God's building. That's a part of the whole building. And therefore, to see that is jasper means that we are the same in expression, in nature, in life, by the infusion of the eyes, the seven eyes of the Spirit. We are becoming jasperized, if I could use that term. In other words, we are being made like He is. Of course, we're not God in the Godhead, but we have the life. We have the nature. We have the very being of God infused into us. So when we spoke so much in this message about the seven eyes and the infusing, as well as the judging and the exposing and the enlightening, we see more specifically and more ultimately, it's the infusing of God Himself into man that really accomplishes God's purpose. And that infusing is what causes the building.
Right.
And without seeing the building, we've missed the whole purpose. It's like reading a book without ever knowing what the subject is.
Mm-hmm.
The subject of the Bible is the building of God into man, to be one with man. So to me, that's the relationship of the jasper sitting on the throne, which is God, and of the jasper wall, which is we.
It's just tremendous, Francis. As you said, it's easy to look at the Bible and pick up individual items, and we can understand those quite well. But the totality, the wholeness of the Bible is all related to this matter of building. Even as we've said, Revelation, a book of judgment. But this judgment is to produce transformed stones for His building. We have been given a real treasure in this ministry, haven't we?
We surely have.
And it is really our joy and our honor to be able to present it to the listeners that receive it and the comments we get from them when they begin to get a glimpse. It's very gratifying.
Yes, indeed. It is to me. I'm very gratified to get to listen to these messages again.
Yeah, that's one of the real great fringe benefits of this job that we have, Francis.
That's right.
Thank you for your help today, and we're going to be seeing you again, and we hope, Lord willing, and so you're invited back and get comfortable because we're going to see you quite a bit in the next few days.
Thank you very much. I'd be happy to be here.
Yes, that really is one of the fringe benefits, Francis, being able to get back into these messages. It is very much our joy and our honor to bring these messages, and when you take the time to call us and let us know the light you're receiving, that is a tremendous encouragement for us as well. Please join us again as we continue this tremendous life study of Revelation. For Francis Ball today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.